Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in. It is a road show Wednesday with Hail Varsity Radio. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Will Bauer. Elijah is back at the station as well. We have made the trek on I-80 up to downtown Omaha, TD Ameritrade Park, just around the corner. And one of my favorite people ever was Harry Carey. And several times a year, Harry would broadcast in the bleachers. Believe it or not, we're not in the bleachers. Or somewhere better. We're at Zipline. Our friends from Zipline, Marcus and the crew, we love them dearly. They've let us set up shop. Hail Varsity Roadshow Wednesday as we are at Zipline, the beer hall here in the Old Market. We're on the corner of 14th and Fahey. And yes, the wind is blowing, but it'll die down in true Nebraska fashion. And we're here till 6. If you're coming up for Nebraska at 9 o'clock tonight, no better place to enjoy something to sip on than Zipline. We invite you down here. We have one pair of tickets left for today's session. All right? We've already had some folks roll up and say, yeah, what do you got? And I was like, what do you need? It's like I'm standing on the corner. We aren't selling. We are giving because we love listeners. Ventry came up all the way from Lincoln to commandeer seats for today. I have one pair left for Nebraska tonight. If you want to see Indiana, Iowa at 5, that's your call. But Nebraska rolls allegedly at 9 tonight. We have Thursday session. We have Friday session. We have Saturday. We have Sunday. So we invite you up here to say what's up, get to TD Ameritrade. And Nebraska baseball is trying to do what they have not done, and that's snap out of the funk in the postseason. Can join us here on Hail Varsity Radio, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Email Chris at HailVarsity.com and get us a tweet. Can follow us, Chris Schmidt at Schmidt underscore radio, Colton Stone at Two Birds, One Stone. Colton Stone rolled up in full Petaway gear, and you put the sun's out, guns out mantra to bed. You have a long sleeve on now. It's beautiful out. It's just a little, shockingly enough, in Nebraska windy. You get sun, you get no rain, but the wind is blowing hard. Colton, great atmosphere down here. We've seen some sad Illinois fans walk by, and we will soon see some sad Buckeye fans walk by as I should say Michigan, sad Michigan fans. Yeah. Ohio State got a 2-1 win today. So things are setting up here. Can this be a different postseason for Nebraska baseball? And I love kind of the moxie. I love the tone from Coach Erstad yesterday and just kind of how the guys are playing. They have confidence, man. They're feeling good, and they should. They went 4-2 against two really strong teams to get themselves some momentum heading into postseason play. It's Big Ten Baseball Tournament. Nebraska Baseball America has them up to a 2 seed based on how they've done their last 6 games. They're hitting better. They're hitting for power better. And you got Waldron on the hill tonight. He's an Omaha kid. He's a West Side hurler. Going to be a special night for him.
Yeah, you know, you look at what they did against Arizona State and Michigan, the thing they were lacking going into it was hitting, right? They kind of went to a lull offensively, and your pitching can only do so much. And then, you know, you finally get one bad outing from Waldron, and then you get two, you know, the Arizona State one, you weren't expecting a whole lot maybe from that weekend, but then you get two wins. So it's kind of a surprise you get 2 out of 3 there. And then he throws great against Michigan, their first outing last week. So as far as the pitching goes, I think it seems like it's kind of going back into form that it was during the regular season before they hit that slump. But really, it's the offense. I think we look at it like it was some kind of an explosion, but still, they were really only scoring four or five, six runs, which in the Big Ten, a lot of times you can pull that off. But it's the bats are going to have to get hot if they want to make a run through this thing.
Well, Nebraska's got to have their bats stay hot. And we'll talk with David Gustafson, our baseball insider. Gus is all over Creighton baseball, but Gus pays plenty of attention to college baseball. So longtime co-host of Hail Varsity, David Gustafson, with our affiliate News Talk 900, will join us at 425. And it is the GOAT, man, greatest of all time, Mike Babcock, author, historian, and longtime coverer of Nebraska athletics. Babber's going to be with us in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk some Husker baseball. We'll get into some spring football. Well, the talking season part of spring football from a scheduling standpoint. And Babber's can beat his chest a little bit about his Golden State Warriors. And Babber's has loved Golden State since the 60s, okay? So he's not like my kid that may or may not be wearing Warriors gear at school because... Oh, they're in the finals again. This will look cool. Now, Babbers is a true fan. So you have Nebraska baseball. Here's what I think about Nebraska baseball, okay? From a pressure standpoint, they've just gone through the ringer, pressure-wise, okay? You had to bounce back against Arizona State. You did so 2 out of 3. You had to take down Michigan to be in contention. You are as close to second as you are fifth, and they finished fifth. And Nebraska rises or lowers to the level of their competition a lot of times, and that kind of comes with age. When you got Erstad and you've got three freshmen and three sophomores regularly in the lineup, you're still trying to mature and really truly treat every game the same. That's what Erstad does, so you don't get too high or too low. Your coach can do it because he's a professional, he's been through thousands of games and he's mature, right? That's the example he's setting. But from a player standpoint, I don't know about you, man, but you put the fan hat on, I'm a hell of a lot more geeked about Colorado than I am South Alabama. You can't be that way as a player. Just like Nebraska, you look at the Northwestern series. We're talking to Pizzo yesterday and he's like, ugh, that was rough, that was really, really tough. But Nebraska against the best competition this year, 1-0 against Tech, 2-1 against Baylor, 2-1 against Arizona State, 2-1 against Michigan, right there against Illinois, right there against Minnesota, and Oregon State was Oregon State, but they're phenomenal. So we'll see what Nebraska does tonight. Waldron, do you think he tries to do too much tonight? I always have this thing. I worry about kids pitching, playing in front of their hometown crowd. A lot of times guys try and do too much when they're at home or in front of family, and guys sometimes don't perform well. Waldron's kind of snapped back into early Waldron form. Is he a guy that, I don't know. I mean, I look at the first game they lost where that dude went 8 innings, allowed 1 run, didn't get the decision. Nebraska lost in walk-off fashion to Minnesota. I think Nebraska's extremely excited to get Minnesota. Nebraska's already got a bit of a chip on their shoulder because they've been questioned, right, the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And now you get Minnesota and you get a chance for some payback. It's all right to be a little revenge-minded.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, too. You don't want to go into it so much that your focus is on, well, hey, we lost 2 out of 3 to these guys, so let's make sure we get this one. It's, yeah, but you also don't want to look too far ahead, right? You say that in football, too, that, you know, yes, it may be South Alabama, but you can't look forward to Colorado till you beat them. And that kind of rang true last year with the beginning of their season. But also, I don't know so much about Waldron pitching in front of Omaha. Yeah, I think there's like that little bit of added pressure because you don't, you know, want to let your city down. But at the same time, like, I think he's settled
back in. I think he's
going to
be too ratcheted up. I don't think he's worried about not performing well. I think he's going to be at level 12
yeah.
coming in. That's what I'm worried about, trying to
do too much.
Trying to do too much.
Yeah, and you know, it hasn't really happened at all season for the most part. Like we said, he's really only had like those two bad outings. They were back-to-back series that they had bad. He had bad outings, and one was Arizona State. And you know, one of those games, you knew you were going to give up a couple of home runs, and you gave them up all weekend. But I think they're just going to ride the momentum. That's kind of what they got to do. If they, and we talked about this, if they didn't finish 4-2, 5-1 to end the season,
there's pressure.
There's a lot more pressure than there is now. Yeah, or at least make a run at the title. Right now, it's kind of, you got to get one for sure, but two will probably easily put you in.
I think they're already in. Minnesota's a team that vastly different from last year's squad. You are going to get, who did we decide throwing for them tonight? Culliver?
Or Fredrickson.
Yeah. You're not going to get Supermax. I mean, 95-mile-per-hour cutter, dude. So that'll be all right. We'll see if Nebraska can stay hot. Hotter with the bats and get back to form with pitching. We're here at Zipline. Big thanks to Marcus. Jack the bartender's waiting for you inside of Zipline Brewing. We're down here in Omaha, just around the corner from TD Ameritrade Park to get the Big Ten baseball tournament going. Nebraska in action tonight. Maryland upsetting Illinois 6-2. And Ohio State 2-1 over Michigan. That is a final. Iowa and Indiana get rolling. We're on the corner of Fahey and 14th. And bingo night, man. This is legendary. It is bingo night here at Zipline. You can play some bingo and enjoy yourself. You can always check out the amazing selection Zipline has with their beers. Maybe you're an IPA guy. Maybe you're a stout. I'm a German. I like me some Kolsch. So that is good. Let's spend some time talking about drinking. And a really good story from Sam McEwen. Want to give him credit from the World Herald. And you look at Bill Moose. And Hale Varsity caught up with the Moose a little earlier this week in reference to Darren Erstad. And Erstad has got nothing but support from Bill Moose. Let's talk alcohol now. And when you talk about, you know, what's next for Nebraska with Bill Moose, what's your encore, Mr. Moose? You landed Frost. You got the mayor. Start bronzing a likeness, please. I think that's impressive. But you talk about renovation to the stadium. That's been a topic. It's always an off-season topic. What do you do with South Stadium if you're in the South Stadium? And it's been a while since I sat in South Stadium, Virginia Tech 2008. Or Colorado 94. Those are the two times I sat South Stadium that I remember. Those aren't recent. But when it comes to the old wood benches, those aren't super comfortable. But is the door open for alcohol at Nebraska football games? And that was asked by Sam. And, you know, the response from Moose, quoting him, we've got to be thinking about the things that are attractive to the younger fans. And, yes, lodge seating, bunker suites, more club areas, and then alcohol. You got to be sensitive to that. You can't rest on your laurels. You've got more and more places going with alcohol. I think Colorado has reinstituted beer. I know you can get beer at Minnesota. If you go to a conference championship game, you're going to be able to buy a cocktail. I don't know. Can you buy beer at TD?
I don't know, maybe because of the Big Ten, but...
Right. You may have to go investigate that a little later, Colton. But Bill Moose is open to the idea of beer and wine just in the suite area. And the question you have is, can you have it in those places and not the rest? And Moose isn't interested right now, per his story with Sam McEwen, about beer in the lower bowl. Are you going to get an irate student after a bad call to start chucking beer? I don't think, and I know Coach Osborne's anti-alcohol in the stadium, and that is a losable fight with him. That's just not going to happen. But if you're, I don't know what the seat licenses cost. I don't know if it's $750,000 a year for 25 years. That's what the original Skybox setup was. when Jack Pierce crushed it and sold all of them. All right. If you're dropping that type of money, and we've all been to a suite, you have, yeah. I have, they're awesome. If you're shelling out that type of money, maybe you spend a little bit more to buy an alcohol license. Maybe you go at it that way. If you're not sweet material, and don't be offended, I'm not sweet material. Many of us aren't. And you can't have your booze that way, then that's just tough. You'd have outrage, I think, from those that suddenly are not donors of substance, right, to borrow a dollar bill line from the burn area. You know what? I think alcohol in Memorial Stadium eventually will happen. I think it's okay if it happens tomorrow. If it doesn't, it doesn't make me cry. And if you have a suite, set up some sort of money payment setup where you can buy the right to have an open container in there. And let's not BS. It's not like you can't get a drink of bourbon or a red beer in a suite now. I'm not ratting anybody out. I'm just saying that if you're in a suite and you want something different than Diet Pepsi, God forbid you smuggled a Coke into a Pepsi school, and you have a little extra oomph to it, you know, that's happening now.
Yeah.
Can happen now, not legally, but you know, if you have the suite, that's your dojo, brother. And if you want wine and beer in there, and you're a suite owner, and that's the only place you can get it, the club level, the suite level, so be it. Those folks, perception-wise, do they handle it better? Maybe not. I don't know, but they have the money, so they can afford it, and that's where you go. You go to the high end first and see if it works, and then I think you talk about it at the PBA. You don't have to have it at Pinnacle Bank Arena, but it's something to talk about. We'll get into this. David Gustafson coming up, Colton Stone, Chris Schmidt, Will Bauer, and also Mike Babcock on the way. We're here at Zipline in Omaha near TD Ameritrade with Hail Varsity Radio.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back here, we're at Zipline, just outside of TD Ameritrade Park. Zipline Brewing, awesome setup, man. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone on the road as you have Indiana in action right now. And I just set my car alarm off. It's wonderful. This is true, true Schmidt fashion of needing to lose weight. We welcome in David Gustafson, longtime co-host of Hail Varsity, the Pride of Columbus, our baseball insider. Gus, I don't need to lose a few, or is that just an act of God with setting the car alarm off? How are you?
Hey, you know what? Who cares about the weight? At least you have some hair, so what's the difference? All right? You're fine.
I thought so. You move to the right, Chris Farley style, and a fat guy in a little coat here goes, and there goes the car alarm. Yeah. Gus, it's a little windy, but it's all right.
Hey, you know what? The sun's out at least, and it's not torrential rain, so the wind is okay. We can deal with that. It'll be fine.
It is. All right. Nebraska baseball. Let's start with the Gus-o-meter, where Nebraska's at heading in to tonight's game against Minnesota. Huge last couple of series, obviously. I love the tone from Erstad yesterday. What are you sensing for this weekend?
Well, I think they'll be just fine. Here's my only thing, is I would say that you certainly don't want – they should be comfortably in at this point, but you don't want to go into this weekend and go 0-2. You don't want to go 0-2 in the conference tournament. Nobody ever wants to do that for a couple of different reasons. One, because if you are on that bubble still, which there's some guys that think that they still are, that could sway a little bit and maybe they would be knocked off. The other thing is you don't want to lose momentum that you gained from the last two weekends and go 0-2 and all of a sudden be limping into a regional should you get into one. That's why you want to at least get a win, if not a couple, this week in Omaha. And if they can do that, they're certainly in. I still think they're probably in, probably at a 3 seed. The one caveat, though, that is starting to come up here is there's beginning to be an issue with Michigan. Michigan now, I believe, Schmitty, is firmly on the bubble. they are maybe the one of the last four teams in right now. If they go 0-2, which is a high likelihood against Illinois, Michigan could be on the outside looking into this NCAA regional.
Gus, talking about Michigan, and I, you know, Arizona State is their own beast. But you look at Michigan, Nebraska gets 2 out of 3. They almost get 3 out of 3. With, like you said, they may be on the bubble with their loss today to lower seed Ohio State. What kind of effect would that have on the rest of the Big Ten? Because a lot of teams are kind of banking on the fact that Michigan was one of their higher RPI wins, and it seems that they keep falling back every week.
Well, here's how I think it affects it. I think there's three teams that are probably safe. One of them is Nebraska. The other one is, of course, Illinois, and Indiana, I think, is safe as well. But, you know, Illinois has the highest RPI. They're at 24, I believe, after losing today, so they didn't get really hurt that bad. Maryland's RPI has actually come up quite a bit of late, so that loss doesn't, as detrimental as it is for Michigan to lose today. The one thing it does is it moves everybody down a peg, and it could be the difference between being a two line or a three line once you make it to a regional. That's where it kind of moves you down. The one thing about Nebraska is you have some quality wins against still the quad one. You look at a team like Michigan, they have a losing record against the quad one. They're only 4-10. In fact, they're combined, they're 5-12 against the top 100. Most of their wins, 25 of them, came from quad four, which is teams that are worse than 151. So that's where they did their damage. Yeah, sure, the conference face value looks pretty good of what they were able to do in the conference, but they're getting smacked by the non-conference right now, and today's loss hurts them. I still think, though, there's three teams that are safe. One of them is Nebraska, but again, I say you don't want to go 0-2 in Omaha.
David Gustafson's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Here, Gus, News Talk 900. We're outside of Zipline Brewing here in Omaha, the corner of 14th and Fahey. Maybe someday, Gus, they'll have a Gus Brew just for you. I'm in a campaign for that, honestly. I got to ask you, that's the next step, isn't it, for Nebraska to make some noise in the postseason? Nebraska answered the bell against Arizona State and Michigan. Nebraska's hitting better against both those teams. Now it's time to change the conversation about 1-11 in the postseason with Erstedt. I think this team's super confident, just like you touched on. And I think they're thriving right now. I think they're excited to be around several thousand Nebraska fans if they do their job this weekend. With Nebraska and this weekend, touch on Minnesota. Where can Nebraska go to work on Minnesota? What do you know about the Gophers?
Well, if they continue to hit the way that they have, they'll be just fine. And, you know, it's always going to come down to pitching. Waldron's been solid his last few outings, for the most part. I mean, for that matter, he's been really, really solid all year. So I don't know if you really worry about him as much, but the offense should be able to get going. Minnesota, you know, sure that they're the higher seed because of the tiebreakers and everything like that, but this is a team that they should be able to handle. And if Waldron gets out to a good start, the offense just continues what they've been doing of late. Schmitty, they should be fine, and you can move on. And then I think it's a sigh of relief, to be honest with you. If you can get that first win out of the way, I know they want to go all the way and take the championship and take everything, the question marks out of it. But if you can get that first victory, Schmitty, boy, it takes a lot of pressure off of everything, and they'll probably play extremely free after tonight.
Well, Gus, one of the issues that we had talked about is the fact that the offense has been where this team was lacking, and then the last couple of games they've shot back up a little bit of an explosion. But, I mean, how important is starting pitching, whether it's just tonight or the next game as well? Because the one thing you don't want to do in a tournament like this, especially when you may feel a little bit of pressure, maybe not as much as before, but you don't want to go into your bullpen in a tournament like this too soon. How important will starting pitching be, not only tonight, but as they go forward?
Well, probably the most important. I mean, really, if you think about it, it comes down to how good is your next day starter. And if Waldron can go deep tonight and get them 7, preferably 8 innings, that's asking a lot out of a kid. I get that, but he's that good. He can do that. If he can do that, then that sets him up for day number 2. And then you move forward from there. So I think it's very key tonight for him to get off to a good start and to eat up a lot of innings if he can. And if they do that, then they're sitting pretty well. I know they'll be probably taking on Indiana. Now, obviously, we've seen two upsets today at the Big Ten tournament, so you never know. But if they can, if he can get them off to a good start tonight, I think that's key for the entire tournament for Nebraska, is if Waldron can get them deep into this game.
David Gustafson, the pride of Columbus, with us on Hail Varsity Radio. We're outside a Zipline Brewing in Omaha, just right outside TD Ameritrade Park on the corner of 14th and Fahey. We have one pair of tickets left for tonight's session. If you want to see Nebraska and you're bumping around Omaha or coming up anyway for baseball, we have sessions for Friday, Saturday, dare I say Sunday. Gus, want to switch gears. And Bill Moose chatted with Sam McEwen, and the topic of wine and beer was thrown out there on,
yep,
on football Saturdays, specifically just in the suites. Would that play if you're a booster of substance, for lack of a better term, and you have a suite and you're not already having a little splash of red or a little gin and tonic? Do you think that would work out? Do you think Nebraska will go that route to allow the sweets to have beer and wine? I mean, Bill Moose says it's something to talk about.
Well, I certainly don't have any problem with it. I really don't. You just look at what some of the other universities have done, and even some that have completely wide open. And I'm talking, you know, for instance, you can go to CenturyLink and get a beer during a basketball game for Creighton. Yeah, there's some people that get out of line, but really, it's not been a major problem. And especially if it's in the suites, it's contained anyway, I think it's absolutely fine. In fact, if I was a booster who had enough cash, you know, maybe me and you someday can go get one there, Schmitty, but that's probably a ways off. But yeah, I'd be all for it. Let's put it that way.
Well, the thing is we got to find somebody that'll let you and I in the suite, and then we can go to town. I mean, the point of it is you and I just, we aren't going to go get blasted spending $12 a beer. Just won't happen.
Right. Right. That's the thing. So if you want to go and enjoy a cocktail or two at the game, you know what? I'm absolutely fine with it. I don't, you know, I've never really seen anybody at Creighton Baseball, for instance, get out of line, even on some of their dollar beer nights. It's been fine. So I think, especially if you're doing the suites, it's more of a contained area anyway. I'm absolutely fine with it. In fact, I'd be in favor for doing that in Nebraska.
Bigger question. Dollar beer nights for youth baseball. If I want to come watch the Columbus Mariners or the Lincoln Athletics, how do we get that green lit?
That's a great question. I don't think that's probably going to happen anytime soon. Maybe a little restrictions on that on the City Park Code. So I'll let you handle that one.
All right. We need an update. Columbus Mariners, what's on the docket? We've got a showdown brewing with the Lincoln A's the second weekend in June.
I think we're in tournaments every single weekend until we head your way. So we'll be busy. Hopefully the rain stays away and we get everything in.
You're much a stickler with the pitch count, aren't you? Trying to get you in trouble on live radio.
No, we are. We watch our kids very closely. There's some teams that don't, and I think it's unfortunate. We've seen that a few times, and that gets real tough on kids, and it's really a shame that that happens. But, yeah, I'm 100% for pitch counts and low pitch counts at the level and age that our kids are playing at.
David Gustafson, Pride of Columbus with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Gus, thanks for the breakdown on Nebraska. And some thoughts on alcohol at Memorial Stadium, but we'll get caught up again soon. Thanks for the time.
Hey, guys, don't have too many there at Zipline after the show, okay? Have fun.
We will. Be good. There he is, David Gustafson, the Pride of Columbus. It is a tad windy, but it is Nebraska, so you put up with it. Good stuff from Gus. We'll get into the mailbag. Some good questions about Colorado in reference to Nebraska. Colton Stone's on the road. Chris Schmidt, Will Bauer back at the studio. You want to see Nebraska tonight? I have one pair left for today's session. And I have session seats for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Come see us. We're at Zipline here in Omaha near TD Ameritrade. Hail Varsity continues.
miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
That was good stuff from David Gustafson. We're here at Zipline, Hail Varsity Radio. Roadshow Wednesday. Got bingo going tonight at Zipline just outside TD Ameritrade Park. We're on the corner, 14th and Fahey. If you're making your way up for Nebraska and Minnesota tonight, enjoy that. Come have a cold one here with your friends at Zipline. We will have some seats to give away for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and dare I say Sunday, as Nebraska ready to go. Good stuff from David Gustafson. Will Bauer will have that posted on the in-demand section of ESPN Lincoln. And also some goodness from what Gus had to say. We've been talking a little bit about alcohol in reference to Sam McEwen's chat with Bill Moose and the topic and thought of wine and beer allowed in the suites, some of the club areas. That's where you maybe start. That's a discussion that maybe you're going to have with Nebraska football. You can talk about it. Will it become a reality? And no is the answer as long as Coach Osborne has his say on it. And there's pros and cons with it. The con, obviously, is you don't want to turn yourself into Columbia, Missouri, or Boulder, Colorado. Just thinking of a few instances where it got nasty. Now, Nebraska fans aren't at heart nasty. They're just passionate, so I don't worry about urine bombs being chucked from the West Stadium ever, right?
Right.
And, you know, if you look at alcohol and the options here, I mean, you have Haymarket Park where Salt Dogs are just a ton of fun to go check out. You can have a beer and a dog there. Mm-hmm. So it's already set up. Do you implement it for Nebraska baseball? And if you're dealing with 45 and wind on a Tuesday and you want something to help keep you warm, yes is the answer at Haymarket Park. PBA is already set up for the wonderful concerts that are, you had a slew of them, man, Chesney and Tool just last week. So yeah, you're already set up at PBA for a beer, or dare you go Morgan and Coke or whatever. And for Memorial Stadium, if you want to start with the suites with wine or beer, who's to say it's not already happening, right? But from a now it's legal standpoint, I think it's a chat you can have. You can make some extra money off it, and you're not gonna ruin the integrity of the experience, I don't think.
Yeah, I've got two things. Well, I think it's...
Well, are you a grown-up enough fan base to handle it?
Right. So I think the first place potentially that would work, you mentioned it first, is Haymarket. And the reason I say that is, what goes better with baseball than beers and hot dogs, right?
That's it.
It's the American thing, right? But on top of that, it's a smaller venue. It's kind of a way to test it out. You know, you've got it with the Salt Dogs, but test it out with that, because not as many people are going to be there. It's not going to be as big of an issue. But on the flip side, you can't tell me that people aren't outside of Memorial Stadium drinking before they go in. Again, not going to rat anybody out, but, you know, it's a dry campus and people are still doing it. So I could see how it's like, you know, do we let all 90,000 right out of the gate do it? I could see that could be an issue. But, yeah, if you're going to start with people that are paying to have a section of the stadium for every home game, then – yeah, I mean, why not? That's probably the place to start and go from there, because not everyone's going to buy it anyways.
I got to ask you, are you concerned about the student section having access? Now,
yes.
I had a creative guy named Ryan that we went to games together, and Ryan had a fake bladder that he would sneak in, also had a flask like he was an extra in Deadwood, taped around his ankle, so he was creative. And if we needed something to get us through a tough fourth quarter, and mind you, in the late 90s, there weren't many tough fourth quarters, right? It was there. And voila, it was fun. Could we handle it? Were we mature? Probably not. But you guys, each generation, each graduating class, you guys are 18 to 22 going on 30.
Right.
From a technology standpoint and from a maturity standpoint. So there's always the bad apple take, which I get, but you tell me, man, you're graduating class. You got through in 4 years. Do you trust your brethren, the 21 to 30-year-olds that you know and have gone to school with and bump around with? I don't see them. They may be rowdy. They may be lewd. They may be vulgar. But it's going to be the 17 they have at the tailgate, or the 12 or so Jello shots they crush at a bar before they get into the stadium.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing. I think Gus made a good, and you made a good point, that no one's going to go and have 10 $8 beers. Like, no one's going to do that. You're going to go have two and then realize, like, oh,
I'm broke.
I've still got to go get home. I've still got to go do other things. Yeah. You're gonna do that outside of the stadium. I mean, I think I've talked to Kranak about this. My one issue with people that maybe get too rowdy before they go to an event is mostly the College World Series and early, like, in the season games when it's really hot, because people just make bad decisions where they aren't hydrated. Again, it's
drink
it's
too much, it's 1,000 degrees, and you're blackout.
And I think the last time I saw it, and one of the last times I was in the stands, was Oregon, but people were, like, dropping like flies. I'm like, well, it's 100 degrees out here. I'm like, yeah, you probably shouldn't have had that eighth beer before you walked in here. Like, drink some water.
You know, the other part of it is it's been a long, long time. This is sad. It's changing. But it's been a long time since Nebraska's been in a big game at that point in the year, right? I mean, you had Colorado last year. You had Miami back in 14. You had Oregon back in 15. But there were huge, 2 to 3 huge games a year that you felt good about. You want to have a couple of pops, and you go into the stadium, and you enhance the atmosphere with your fandom and your passion. But, yeah, that Oregon game, I remember it back in 15 where, all right, it was springboard time. Nebraska's got a chance to take down Oregon. It wasn't brutally hot, but it was hot enough, and people didn't pace themselves. Yeah. They got rocked. But guess what? It had been a long time since you since you had a moment and an opportunity like that.
Yeah, I think
it's 2016, forgive me, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I just think that's the only issue is, I mean, yeah, you get the one or two people that are too blasted when they're in there, but yeah, like you said, it's going to be before they get there. It's not so much while they're there, or like because of what's offered to them there. And you know, it's just moderation. You know, drink responsibly.
Yeah, but don't ruin it for others. I want to remind you about buckling up. Something's got to stop that motion. Airbags aren't enough all the time. The seatbelt or the windshield. What's going to stop you from moving forward? Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now, click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, as we're here at Zipline Brewery. Good folks from Zipline. Marcus, thanks to him and his crew for letting us out here ahead of Nebraska and Minnesota. They get rolling at 9 tonight. You have Iowa and Indiana now at TD Ameritrade. Bingo is going to get rolling at Zipline. So if you're going to be headed to Omaha for Nebraska baseball tonight, we invite you here. Stop by and see your friends at Zipline. Jack will pour you a cold one inside. And we have some tickets to give away next hour for the Thursday through Sunday sessions at TD Ameritrade. We'll wind down hour one next.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
All right, our Thursday session seats are gone. Steven proudly said, yeah, I went to Texas. And we made a friend from Texas. Steven was able to chime in while we were off air about, we were talking about drinking at Memorial Stadium and Sam's chat with Bill Moose, Sam McEwen's, and you know, the liability part is very real. And are you worried about the students from a liability standpoint? And that's absolutely, I would be worried about. Sorry, I was one of you once as a student, and I was a freak show. Right? Don't let me near. So that's the take. I think there's less liability with someone in the suites than perhaps the student section. And that's not to knock students, because there's a lot of mature students at Nebraska. But everyone just gets it rolling before. the games with the tailgate sessions? Would you dial back if you knew you could have a couple extra in the stadium? Well, you go out at halftime anyway if you got somebody you know.
Well, I think the other thing with students is obviously the underage deal too, because it's going to be a lot harder.
Oh, you mean the law?
Yeah, you know, maybe another kind of liability and legality issue there. You look at it and it's like, you know, you can put a wristband on somebody, you can put X's on somebody's hands, but at the end of the day, in 20,000 people, you're not going to have guys going up and down like, is that guy underage? Is that guy under? Like, they're not going to be able to, you know, do that. So then it becomes a situation where you probably have to limit how many they can buy at a time, and so on and so forth, because otherwise you're going to have guys that are carrying four beers, one for them and four their frat brothers. So that's my take on it, I guess.
We'll take some of your emails. Chris at HaleVarsity.com can also tweet at us, Chris Schmidt, Schmidt_radio, on Twitter at HaleVarsity, and Colton Stone at Two Birds, One Stone. We'll have a Mike Babcock sighting. Babbers to talk some baseball and football next segment, next hour. Excited for that. We'll get into the Hail Varsity mailbag and the topic of Colorado and how big that game is for Nebraska. I love having Colorado on the schedule. You have a lot of different philosophies scheduling-wise, and if you're Georgia, you're scheduling everybody and anybody, all right? And what do you do with some open dates? How heavy do you want to go if you're Nebraska? And they're going pretty heavy. I mean, you got Oklahoma coming up. Tennessee's on the horizon. I forget specifically who else, but it'd be cool to go after. And Bill Moose has talked about this with some of the old Big 8 schools. We can get into some of that with Babbers as well. You're not going to get scoffed at for scheduling Kansas or Kansas State. K-State doesn't have Grandpa Bill anymore. They got a hell of a coach from North Dakota State. You have the Mad Hatter down at Kansas at Les Miles. So KU football, I don't know if they're going to be Glenn Mason good or Mangino good ever again, but you've got a name coach down there, so that'll be interesting. You have Colorado, a home and home that you're wrapping up this year. Colorado's on the horizon again. Oklahoma's in there. Texas and Missouri would be a lot of fun. We'll see if that's a reality. And, you know, I'd love to go down to Austin again and see Nebraska touch gloves.
Yeah, I think what they've done this year, and they've got Colorado this year, what's good is they have two bye weeks.
Yep.
And you also are getting a key non-conference game. And it's not always going to be Oklahoma competing for the national championship or Georgia or somebody like that. But it's somebody with name recognition to you. And if you can get a situation where you have two bye weeks, that helps too.
It does. And don't kid yourself, that road game, that opportunity week two is going to serve you well when Minnesota comes to town. Or I should say when you head to Minnesota.
Yep.
In October, you got Purdue on the horizon. That's another road game. Hour two, out here at Zipline in Omaha with Hail Varsity.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmidt_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmidt.
Back with you. It's Hour 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio on the road today on the corner of Fahey and 14th. Zipline Brewery. Good stuff, man. Bingo night tonight, and Nebraska baseball is going to get underway. We don't know if it's 9 o'clock or beyond, but they are the last game. They are the late game. Ohio State knocking off Michigan. Illinois getting upset by Maryland. You have Iowa, Indiana right now. I've seen a few Iowa fans roll by. And windy, but very pleasant, sunshine, and great temperatures. We're out on the patio, so if you're on your way up for Nebraska tonight, come say hi to us here. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Will Bauer back at our ESPN Lincoln studios. And we say hi to historian, author, and Hall of Famer Mike Babcock with us to start off hour two. Babbers, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing okay. Good baseball weather, huh?
It is a little Wrigley-like with the wind. But, Mike, I wanted to start off with Nebraska baseball. And I know the Huskers are in a good spot with their numbers, with the way they've been hitting the ball, the pitching's come around, really the way they finished the regular season. What are you feeling with this team as they move forward into Omaha? We know what they've done, or I should say haven't done, in the postseason. Why do you think it can be different this year for Coach Erstad in Nebraska?
Well, I think you learned something in the last two series, you know, responding from the 15-6 loss against Arizona State in the first game of that series, and then and though they lost the last game of the Michigan series, they scrapped right to the end, 10-8, and they battled. They didn't pack it in, and I think that underscores what Erstad has been saying about this team, is that it, you know, he said yesterday, he said that we're not the best team, but we fight. And I think that as you've seen in the first two games of the tournament, this thing's up for grabs. So if somebody gets hot, a team can win it, maybe unexpectedly, not necessarily going to be Indiana. So if Nebraska can be that team, that's obviously what you want. You can't go 0-2. You can't go 2-out. That's not an option, because that's going to really hurt your chances of getting in an NCAA regional. But if you can be competitive in the tournament and make a little bit of a run, even if you don't win it, I think you're in pretty good shape.
Mike Babcock with us on Hail Varsity Radio. And Mike, you look at, I mean, they're basically that Michigan game away from having a chance at co-Big Ten champs or the two seed. Like, what kind of a chip does this team seem to have on their shoulder? Not so much that, like, oh man, we're the five seed, like, we're out of this thing, but just shows from 1 to 5, I mean, all those teams are pretty equally competitive. Like, I mean, do they have as good of a shot? I mean, we've seen upsets already, but just as good of a shot being the five seed as they would have if they maybe were the two?
Well, yeah, I think because you're going to have to play these teams anyway, and so at this point, I think we probably make more of an issue out of it than the players do. You know, I really believe that you go into with the mentality in a tournament like this, you go in with the mentality that, hey, we're here to win it, and, whatever team is in front of us, in this case Minnesota first, that's the team that we're going to beat. And you have to believe that, and you'll look at who's next after you get the job done here. So that's kind of the way, you know, it's easy to say that that's the way it's supposed to be. But I think that we saw maybe in those last two series some element of that, because really Nebraska was in a position, you know, not just the Michigan series, winning another game and maybe tied for a second, or, you know, getting a second place in the conference. But, look at those four other series in the Big Ten, starting off with Minnesota. You lose two games in that series on walk-offs. You lose two games out of three against Iowa. You lose two games out of three against Illinois. Two games out of three against Northwestern. You know, in any of those situations, you win when you don't. Instead of losing those series, you win those series, and you're close. You're in a position to do that. It changes the whole dynamic. So you can't really think about those things. It doesn't come down to one series against Michigan. It comes down to the entirety of your work. You really have to be focused. And I think the teams that are successful can do that, and the teams that, maybe lack a little bit of a focus, or they're looking ahead to that next game. You know, I don't think Michigan was looking past Ohio State. You know, that's a rivalry, as we know, but you just cannot look beyond the team in front of you in that first game.
Mike Babcock's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Follow him on Twitter at MDBabs. And, I mean, the way that Nebraska lost three of their five series this year in walk-off fashion, the only series throughout their entire schedule that they got dismantled was Oregon State, and they turned around, and Nebraska did really well against some of the Big 12's brass, and when push came to shove, Arizona State and Michigan, that's been well highlighted. But I love how Nebraska stepped up offensively. and did well. They've hit about 20 points higher. They've hit 9 home runs. I keep repeating that because it's not just that you did it, but when you did it, that's impressive to me. Mike, but we'll switch gears from baseball to Nebraska football, and we were spending some time in hour one discussing Sam McEwen's story from the World Herald with Bill Moose regarding alcohol, beer and wine in Memorial Stadium, specifically the skyboxes, the suites. That's something that was asked and answered, something that maybe you should think about. I don't know that it'll go very far. But what's your reaction to that possibility someday in the near future, maybe having beer and wine as an option in the club seats? Doesn't affect us because we're in the press box, but just having that ability if you're someone that can afford those types of seats.
Yeah, definitely keep it out of the press box, Smitty. But you know, I didn't read Sam's story, and I caught the tail end of your discussion on that, and so I went on the internet and I kind of looked around. It looks like there's a movement in several places, and the Pac-12 moving towards allowing it in the stadiums. Stadia, I guess, is the plural, right? And so maybe across college football, there's kind of that movement. It looks to me like, and maybe I got the number wrong here, but Nebraska is one of only 5 schools in the Big Ten that doesn't at least allow it in the suites. And I think Minnesota and Maryland maybe are the only ones that allow it throughout the stadium right now. If you're gonna take that as your model and say, well, you know, it's allowed in seven of these facilities in the suites only. Maybe Nebraska needs to follow along. Personally, I would be I'm not necessarily in favor of that, but as you said, I think you pointed out, you know, drinking goes on outside the stadium before people get there, and you know, I don't know if that does it not go on in the suites. You know, right. Every once in a while somebody will say, well, I know that they have it in the suites, even though they're not supposed to or whatever. Maybe if that's the case, maybe then you should go ahead and say, hey it's legal. But I throughout the stadium, I don't think that's a good idea. And I think you guys touched on it a little bit in the student section. It would be very difficult to monitor that, you know, because I think the students, they just basically go grab a seat, right? I mean, it's not like you're in a specific seat and there's just a mass of students. And how do you determine whether the student is of legal age or not? I think that creates all kinds of problems. And I've told this story before, but I remember going to Wisconsin, where I think it's only available in the suites, but in 2011, I think the first time Nebraska went there and as a member of the Big Ten, and it was a night game, and I swear, wherever they allowed it, it was throughout the stadium. And it was like, have you seen the movie Streets of Fire?
That's what it was like.
I mean, it was like a riot outside the stadium afterward. We had about a 30-minute walk to our car, 15, maybe not 30, but and it's just trash cans on fire, and people were drunk in the streets and yelling obscenities. And I just don't think it's a good thing. I saw a similar situation at Penn State 1 year, and they don't allow it in the stadium either. I think they do allow it in the suites now, but across the board, allowing it. I'm not in favor of that, definitely. That just is not a good situation.
You know, those are great numbers, and thanks for bringing that up with Nebraska being 1 of 5 in the Big Ten that doesn't allow it at all.
I think I got that right.
I trust you on that. So I got to ask about PBA and even Haymarket. And those, there are suites in both. but just for more of a stadium-wide option for Haymarket or PBA, because you have beer sales with the dogs, and you have alcohol sales for concerts. I mean, you have taps right there.
Yeah, you know, that's true. And again, you know, I would ask, does it enhance the experience for people? Is that what we're saying? I mean, is that why we want to have
it's an amenity,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think it would be difficult in Pinnacle Bank Arena. I think, again, the student section, it's going to be a little bit difficult to monitor that if you allow it across the facility. I mean, if you put it in the suites, you know, maybe that's worth discussing, or maybe the same thing with baseball. Maybe that's worth discussing. And I, you know, I don't know how that stands in other Big Ten facilities. My guess is that probably if school is willing to allow it in suites at football games, they probably would give it some consideration at basketball games or baseball games. But again, you know, how you're gonna monitor it is really important, I think, because you don't want it to turn into a
Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm probably picking one thing, and I'm, you know, one specific night, but I don't think you're off. It was not a pretty sight, I'm telling you.
Mike Babcock with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Mike, about 2.5 minutes here. It seems like Golden State's back to playing team basketball with KD out. Not that he's a talent that team has thrived off of all season, but Draymond has stepped up, back-to-back triple-doubles. I mean, this team looks like it's old form. What are your thoughts on the sweep with Golden State, especially with them trailing by 17 or more three times against Portland?
And 18 one time. You know, I'm a little bit befuddled by how they can spot a team that kind of a lead and then come back and win the game. And you're right, they certainly are playing good team basketball. They move the ball. I think in the playoffs, it's so much about matchups. And that's the one thing. And, I was surprised that Toronto took care of Milwaukee the way it did last night, because I had figured probably Milwaukee would win that in five. That's not going to happen now. And I was looking down the line and saying, you know, how does Golden State match up with Giannis if Durant can't play? Possibility is the Golden State could get Durant back and could get Cousins back, and they didn't have Iguodala either in that fourth game. So if they had all three of those guys back, they would be difficult to handle regardless of who they play in the finals. But they really have come on. And Curry has started hitting his shots, and yet, you know, we know what a big difference that makes.
Mike Babcock's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. We're here at Zipline Brewery just outside of TD Ameritrade Park, corner of Fahey and 14th. Babbers, we will get caught up again. I've got about 60 seconds. Mailbag question Colton and I are going to get into next segment. But level of importance on the Colorado game for Nebraska. They're all important, yes, but what type of springboard could that ball game be for this year's squad?
Well, certainly could set up things, you know, for put the Huskers in a good position going into the Ohio State game, which is going to be the kind of the determining game, I think, probably in the conference, obviously. And so if you can win that Colorado game, and, for me, win the Colorado game because it's Colorado. That I don't care if Colorado is horrible. Just win that Colorado game because of what it is. But you figure that if the Huskers win that game, the Huskers are going to be undefeated going into Ohio State.
Yep. Mike Babcock, follow him at MD Babs on Twitter. Read him with Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Babbers, a lot of fun, bud. Thanks for the time.
Hey, great talking to you guys.
There he is, Mike Babcock. Good to be with him. Appreciate him, his time. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. We'll get into some mailbag next on Hail Varsity here at Zipline in Omaha.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back here, Hail Varsity Radio Roadshow Wednesday, presented by the Nebraska Lottery here at Zipline Brewing. Gotta love Zipline, man, out here in the old market corner of Fahey and 14th. Getting the Big Ten baseball tournament kicked off, and Jack the bartender's got bingo rocking. If you're on your way up for Nebraska and Minnesota tonight, we are here till 6. Nebraska is supposed to start at 9, but to get you prime and done here with your friends at Zipline, a reminder about West Blue Realty, and give the good folks at West Blue Realty a ring today. The real estate professionals want to make your 2019 move one that is smooth. And for a limited time offer, you mention Hail Varsity. And West Blue Realty is going to provide you with up to $1,000 upon the closing of your next home purchase. Tom Luby will take care of you at 402-540-3768. About Tom, Kelly Hofschneider, Kelly's good stuff as well, along with Tom, 402-202-2312. It pays to work with West Blue, westbluerealty.com, or go see him in Lincoln. See what West Blue can do for you at 233 South 13th, the 11th floor. Okay, Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Will Bauer, and Elijah back at our studios in Lincoln. David Gustafson, hour one. Mike Babcock just a few minutes ago. We had a lot of good stuff, per usual, with the Hail Varsity mailbag. And let's get into some football here. We've talked booze and stadiums enough. We got into some thoughts on Nebraska baseball. I think the fact that they're kind of thriving in this environment, going to be the home crowd, they're excited about that. So look for good things from Nebraska baseball to kind of be different this postseason than in past postseasons. We still have seats for the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday session. If you're on your way up here, you don't even have to arm wrestle Colton. You can just ask for some seats. We'll give them to you. So that's cool. Colton, big question about Colorado. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this is probably the question that stuck out the most in the mailbag. And it basically asks, I won't paraphrase, I'll read it, but agree or disagree, the Colorado game will determine Nebraska's season. And then on top of that, if you win, do you get College Game Day with Ohio State? And do you get an 8-win season? Lose, and are you kind of set for a 6-win season? Now, I don't really, you know, week two, I think it's too hard to go, oh, even if you're 1-1, is that 6 wins? But it's just as hard to say is 1-1 or 2-0, 8 wins at the same time. So I think it's, you know, Jacob, Mike, and Derek make a couple of good points. But I think my gut reaction is I think it's important. But by no means is like if you lose Colorado, you know, the whole thing's done. It's not a conference game, so.
No, I think what – but, man, I tell you what, it won't kill you if you lose it. If you win it, look out. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I think it can – I think you can totally look at it that way because it is early in the year. Let's be straight that you're still working on all parts of your football team, but specifically what's your interior, the offensive right. line going to be. How are you going to be at wide receiver? Okay. And you've got this, you know, keep the red out mantra from Colorado, which means there's going to be 25,000 Nebraska fans in Boulder. We'll be there at the blur parties for sure on a Friday, Saturday, a double dip for you. So we're excited about that road trip with Hail Varsity. Listen, I think if you get you get the win against Colorado and you use that to continue momentum. I think it stabilizes you for a road victory. What did Nebraska do on the road last year? They came close. Mm-hmm. They lost in horrific fashion on the road to Northwestern. They lost in gut-wrenching style at Iowa. They kept it close. We're right there against Ohio State. Those were all maybes. You win at Colorado that early in the season. Build your confidence, get you stabilized. It's a strong early test, but it's also a very winnable game for Nebraska. So I think it's one that you should feel good about going out there and having a chance to win. If you somehow lose, then, all right, you reassess and you get ready for Ohio State. I think if you are not undefeated, despite the schedule, the 28th of September, if you're not undefeated, I think you're stuck with Ohio State at noon, 11 o'clock. I think you're stuck with Ohio State for an 11 o'clock kickoff that Saturday. I think Fox or ABC will go with somebody else. That's just my gut. Right. I think if you're both undefeated, you'll be 7 o'clock kick, prime time under the lights for ABC. That's what I think. That's how big the Colorado game. It sets you up for the Ohio State opportunity. Further down the season, you have Minnesota on the road the 12th of October. You have Purdue on the road. You're at Maryland. You'll be a grown-up football team by the time you get Maryland. But mm-hmm. you want to take any road win you can get and run with it if you're Scott Frost in Nebraska in year two. It is important, but it isn't dire.
Right, exactly. I think it's a confidence builder in the sense that, one, it's a former conference rival, and two, it's a team that got you last year in a very close fashion, and people are obviously still upset about Martinez being out for that Troy game. But you also look, and I think Derek set this up pretty well, is you look at the games surrounding prior to that Ohio State game. Colorado's the most important, probably, of them all. Or it's the one you look at and go, okay, this is...
It's a Power 5 real opponent.
Right, exactly. And you know, you've got then South Alabama. I believe it's Northern Illinois this year, again, correct? And then you've got Illinois. And then you've got Ohio State. And Derek makes a good point. Colorado's probably not the make-or-break game. It's probably Ohio State because you go in, again, with, like he says, the most confidence you've probably had in years against Ohio State, considering what happened last year. And then on top of that, if they win that, I mean, you just took down probably the big dog in the conference, which may be reeling. We don't know yet because we haven't seen them in, what, 7 years without Urban Meyer.
It's not your fault if they are no longer a big dog. Get them before they start whimpering.
Yeah.
Be the reason for their downfall. No, that's what's so huge about this Colorado game, and it is confidence, and you have that measure of revenge, no doubt, with what happened to Adrian a year ago. You've got the Buff fans screaming about keeping the red out. You've got an SEC guy that was really good in Georgia as defensive coordinator. Colorado's been through their 1,300th head coach, right? I mean, so they let Mac go, and they went SEC shopping, so they got a dude there. That knows how to play some defense. It's his first year. He wants a signature win in his second week on the job, right? So we'll have Gary Barnett on with us tomorrow and talk a little more Colorado, Nebraska. Also excited to have Uncle Jerry, Coach DiNardo, going to be with us, Brandon Vogel as well. So we're loaded up for some football. Outside of Zipline right now in Omaha, downtown Omaha, Fahey and 14th on the corner outside the patio. Zipline Brewing. We love our friends at Zipline. It's Wednesday bingo. We have some Nebraska baseball seats, or the Big Ten baseball tournament's just a block away. We have some seats we're giving away for that. Just come by and ask for some for tomorrow or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we'll see how Nebraska fares as they get ready for Minnesota tonight. The game that I think in 24/7 Sports put a list out last week, they've done some pretty cool stuff with either, you know, coin flip games or when does Ohio State lose their first game of the year? When does Nebraska lose their first game of the year? When does Michigan State and Iowa and Wisconsin? I mean, Wisconsin and Iowa have rugged, really early schedules. And so does Nebraska. You have Colorado and you have Ohio State in the month of September. So 24/7 Sports is saying they think Nebraska's first loss is going to be after Ohio State. They'll beat Ohio State. They'll beat Colorado. Those damn Purple Cats of Northwestern come in and stun a team that's good but not ready to handle success after beating likely a top-five Ohio State team.
Yeah, I think I say this a lot anytime we talk about Northwestern football.
They scare you.
Yeah, if you go to Northwestern – now, they squeaked one out, but generally you win at Northwestern because it's almost like a home game on the road. But what's really weird is Northwestern comes to you and dismantles you, and I don't get it. And especially last year, you look at – and we talked about this earlier this week with teams that could win the West. Mm-hmm. Northwestern last year, they did not win a non-conference game. Oh. And they did not play good teams in non-conference with the exception of Notre Dame.
Duke rocked them.
And wasn't close, period. And Akron, I mean, they gave that one away. They handed that one away. Notre Dame, good team. But, yeah, I don't want to say, like, yep, that's the one I see, because I still think that hurdle is going to be Ohio State, whether you go in with more confidence than them or not. But a team like Northwestern doesn't surprise me as a first loss on the schedule.
The way it's sandwiched, though, is what is funky. Because you get Ohio State, and then you get Northwestern, and then you're at Minnesota.
Yeah.
I mean, Minnesota's – that's probably – they're all important. You want to get Wisconsin. You want to get Iowa. But, you want to go get a solid road win in division.
Yeah.
You're supposed to take care of business at home. Do you do something that you haven't done, and that's – get Wisconsin and Iowa. I mean, Nebraska hasn't done that since 2012.
Yeah, well, and you look at that Minnesota game, too. The last time they were up there, what, they gave up 50 points, however many it was?
They got destroyed, 500 yards rushing.
Yeah, so now I don't think it's the same Minnesota team. It's obviously a very different Nebraska team as well. So that's not so much like, you know, let's watch out for 500 yards from Fleck and company. But like you said, any road game's important. But you want to circle Wisconsin and Iowa, and you hate to say that, but at the same time, it's like that's a question that comes up. It's like if you lose Ohio State, whatever. If you lose Michigan, okay. Penn State, fine. But if you can't beat Wisconsin and Iowa, you just won't win the West. You can't, obviously, because they're on that side. But you could find ways around that, but it seems like it goes through those two, and the focus is trying to get flipped that it goes through Lincoln.
You need to go. I mean, we're not going to discount Purdue because you've struggled against Purdue.
Right.
We're not going to discount Minnesota because you've struggled at Minnesota. We're not going to discount Wisconsin or Iowa because you haven't beaten them. But with Nebraska's schedule and the crossover being what it is, where it's not Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State this year. I mean, it's really Ohio State and Indiana's not ever easy, but they're beatable,
right?
And then you're at Maryland with it's no longer that guy that's gonna. What's the guy's name? It's the Alabama coordinator that's up there. It's not Fleck 2.0 anymore.
Right.
Durkin.
Yeah, Durkin.
Durkin had talent. Durkin had some ballers. They had some big wins, but I think that's gone. A Jock Doc's coming up next. Come see us at Chip Line in Omaha.
402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to you. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday in Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Dr. Brandon Seifert's with us. Dr. Brandon, how you doing?
I'm great, Chris. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. We're both doing better than Giannis Cespedes of the New York Mets. Multiple ankle fractures. And let's give a little backstory here on Cespedes. He's a guy that has been gone for the year after undergoing surgery. He had to have calcifications removed from his heels. Okay, so that's no good. Now another setback, putting this season in jeopardy. Multiple fractures to his right ankle. He had an accident on his ranch. Dr. Brandon, what's this mean for old Cespedes?
You know, pretty significant. You start looking at where he's at in his career. You start looking at some of the surgeries he's had, especially the calcifications and bone spurs work that he had done in his calcaneus or in his heels. You start talking about that, then you start to add on another injury like this, and it's pretty significant. We don't have all the details really available out there. They're talking multiple fractures to the right ankle, which we can speculate on what type of fractures those might be. But pretty significant. Interesting that he's out kind of doing these things, and he's not playing. He's rehabbing from the other surgeries he's had. So not certain exactly how this happened. There's a couple of varying reports out there about what exactly happened, whether it was a fall from a significant height versus he was actually on some kind of motorized vehicle. But at any rate, sounds like a pretty significant trauma occurred in a bad injury from what they're saying.
Well, he had a violent fall. He stepped in a hole and he put his leg and foot in a difficult position. Dude loves horses. I just sometimes you get caught in a stirrup, or maybe you're just on a four-wheeler. I know we're speculating here, but or if you're just walking along and there's a hole, I mean, the old gopher holes are undefeated when you're playing outfield, you know? So
that's true.
Or you're just kind of hanging out around your ranch. So all of that's brutal. What type of pain level and tenderness is there from the calcifications?
Yeah, you know, it depends on how extensive that surgery was for him. That could be something as simple as going in and kind of open incisions and kind of taking off some calcifications that are near where the tendon is, and that's all you do. That'd be kind of less common. Typically, with surgery, they go in and take off some calcifications off the calcaneus. So just anatomically, when you think about your foot, the heel is what we refer to as the calcaneus. And on the back side of the heel, there's a thing called the Achilles tendon. Everybody's pretty familiar with that. And that hooks onto the very back of the heel. And if they're talking about some bone spurs they took off, they're probably talking about where the Achilles tendon hooks into the calcaneus or the heel. They probably were talking about that. It could also mean, though, if you kind of go up underneath the bottom part of your foot where patients can get some plantar fasciitis. Sometimes you can have somebody go in and have some calcifications or some bone spurs taken off that area, and not a super successful surgery, but there are some folks that do perform that, and that might be what they're talking about too. But if you kind of transition back to the back of the heel where the Achilles is, if that's really the work that they did, oftentimes with those, it's kind of like having a true Achilles rupture. What they'll do is they'll actually lift the Achilles off the bone, so detach it, clean out all the bone spurs and things that are back there, and then reattach it to the bone. Pretty extensive process. Again, there's not a ton of details out there about whether or not that's what they did. If that's the case, essentially it's like going through a Achilles reconstruction or Achilles repair procedure, which is a super long course.
Mm.
But if it was something more, just cleaning up some bone spurs, didn't do anything with the tendon, then that's a recovery course that, you know, probably 8 to 12 weeks. You're back doing most things, probably full go at least by 4 months from something like that.
Dr. Brandon Seifert's with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking about Jonas Cespedes of the New York Mets. Ankle fractures, that's plural, in an accident in his ranch in Port St. Lucie, Florida, over the weekend. So let's go back to the ankle issues. Best case scenario with multiple ankle fractures, and worst case here, because there's different types of breaks, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. So thinking about the ankle anatomically, there's two bones that kind of make up the top side of the ankle, or at least the significant portion of the ankle. Everybody's familiar with the shin bone, which we call the tibia, and then the outside smaller bone, kind of the ball portion on the outside of your ankle, is called the fibula. Those are the two bones that kind of make up the majority of the ankle. And then, of course, on the bottom side of the ankle, there's a dome-shaped bone called the talus. And those would be kind of the main primary bones of the ankle. So in his situation, typically with ankle fractures, let's talk best case scenario. So best case scenario with multiple ankle fractures would be a crack in the distal fibula. That would be the small bone on the outside. And then that moves over and you have a little crack along the ball portion of the ankle on the inside. We call that the medial malleolus. That'd be kind of the ball portion on the inside. Those are pretty common injuries, especially with a twisting injury, step in a hole. And that would be something that, you know, would require surgery. On the inside, we typically would just do two screws over there, then the outside a plate with some screws. And that would be, you know, of a multiple fracture event, that'd probably be one of the better scenarios. And then you start to, you know, kind of take that scale up to what would be kind of the most severe or most significant injury there would be a fall from a height, really high-level trauma. You can actually break into the joint at the bottom side of the shin or the tibia. That's a very severe fracture. That's called a Clefond fracture. Those tend to have a lot of what we call soft tissue damage, tend to take a lot longer to recover from, and really from a high-level athlete perspective, those do not do very well at all. Even for patients who are not high-level athletes, those are difficult to recover from, so we'll hope that that was not it. Those are pretty rare, but that would be a possibility just kind of based on what they're saying.
Man, that's brutal. What's a best case, worst case return time for Cespedes? I mean, the guy's 33. New York's going to go after some insurance money, I would bet. And I'm sure there was, dude, stay away from your horses, stay away from your ranch. You can live there, but don't ranch, right? Stay away.
Yeah, right, right.
So what are we looking at here?
You know, so let's take best case scenario. You've got the crack on the outside, the small bone, crack on the inside. So you get surgery done for that, not a long surgery. There'll be a period of kind of non-weight bearing associated with that. That could be anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks. But you're up moving around right away. They'll start therapy right away to get the range of motion going. With that, you're putting full weight on it at least by 6 weeks, if not sooner. By probably 10 or 12 weeks, you're probably back into a jogging program, a return back to high-level competitive athletics, you know, major league level. It could be 5 to 6 months. Could be a little longer, just depending on how quickly he gets his range of motion back. On the flip side, you take that worst-case scenario where he actually has a fracture into the joint on the larger bone, the tibia or the shin, something like that. You're looking at probably at least a year to recover from. That could be something that would require multiple surgeries. That's going to be something that really results in kind of a lot of long-term pain if something like that had occurred.
So we're talking career-ending potentially based on his age and his mileage and his history of injury anyway.
Yeah.
We'll keep our ears open for the Cespedes update. To Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, Dr. Brandon Seifert. Dr. Brandon, thanks for giving us a few minutes today.
You bet, Chris. You guys take care.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
One final time here at Zipline on your Wednesday, Roadshow Wednesday in Omaha, kicking off Big Ten baseball as it's bingo night here at Zipline. So come on down if you're heading up for the Nebraska and Minnesota game. They could use some fans in the stands as Iowa and Indiana are fighting it out, duking it out. But great people at Zipline. We love them dearly. And this was a great experience. Jack, the bartender's cool. And he'll take care of you tonight with bingo and then get you primed up for Nebraska, Minnesota. Mike Babcock was awesome. David Gustafson, fantastic. Colton Stone, we're in his hood, man. This is your stomping grounds. My buddy Garth Glissman, bless his heart. I would do games on the weekend up here on TV a while ago, probably about 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago. That's a spectrum. But I would crash with G-Unit, and he lived in the greenhouse down in the old market right across from ConAgra. This brings back some memories with just being down and kicking around in the old market. Lots of fun, man.
Yeah, a little east of my hood. I'm out in West Omaha.
Yeah, I know.
Omaha,
you're in West Omaha.
A little isolated
from
everybody.
You're with the cheese, wine, and beer in the Nebraska football suites crowd.
A little bit. Not, you know, I'm not that close to Millard West or Creighton Prep. But, yeah, you know, but it's good being in Omaha. I think that, you know, if the trend stays up, the lower seeds will win today. I don't know how Iowa's faring with Indiana at the moment, but if all lower seeds win, that's good for Nebraska, right?
It is. And what do you get from Waldron tonight in his hometown? And do you get a calm, extremely juiced Waldron in a sense where he's just going to go no-hit everybody, right? Or do you get a I'm trying too hard Waldron? And do you get offense? I love Nebraska's vibe with Erstad. And how he sounded and looked. I mean, he's ready for it. They're ready for it, man. It's a new season, and Nebraska baseball can change that conversation. We spent a lot of time talking about alcohol at Nebraska sporting events today, and that was an interesting topic. I think you go for it in the sweet region for sure. If you can afford it, why not? You're maybe probably doing it anyway, so that's good. And I do want you to go read Jacob Padilla's story on Roby. He caught up with Roby yesterday. Oh. And Roby's, the feedback he has gotten is about just his consistency and his upside being the versatility part of things. So that's good. It was really cool to hear Jacob get the reaction from Roby in his story on just the fact that Miles and the mayor were both there supporting Roby. And why wouldn't you be, right? But it was pretty cool for Miles to reach out and say, hey, man, can I come support you? And Roby's like, absolutely. And the fact that Hoiberg and Miles were getting along so well. I mean, in some instances, maybe there's a steel chair to the dome, but that didn't happen. Colton, thanks for coming out, brother.
No problem.
We'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow we are loaded up. Dean Blevins, Gary Barnett, Jerry DiNardo, Brandon Vogel on the show. And thanks to Will Bauer and Elijah back at the station. They'll get the show posted. And you'll have parts of each interview on ESPN SoundCloud, the ESPN Lincoln Twitter, Hail Varsity. And the show will be posted on HailVarsity.com or iTunes. Talk to you tomorrow. Enjoy TD Ameritrade if you're headed here tonight. Take care.